It's time to hack the movies. Today, we're talking about tapes with Tony and Newt. Talking
about tapes. Hello, Newt.
Oh, hi, Tony.
Happy 4th of July week.
Yeah, this comes out the beginning of the month.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
Okay.
And of course, 4th of July, very, very important day to me. It's where I celebrate something that I love, that I cherish dearly. That is the United States of America. It's also me and my girlfriend's anniversary, but that's
okay,
like,
yeah,
that's
no,
like
it's not
fifth
as big
on
yeah.
the list of things that 4th of July is known for.
Exactly.
I don't want to, you know, like, let's focus on what's important.
Yeah.
That's America.
Mm-hmm.
Love 4th of July. I love Independence Day, as it's called.
Yes, ID4.
Yeah, that was, you know what, it worked.
Yeah.
It worked.
No, it did.
That, it worked.
Yeah.
We are recording on our new audio recorder.
Yeah.
Because that one mysteriously died.
I don't know what happened.
And as of this recording, we still haven't figured out the whole voicemail thing. I know, like, a cheap way to do it, but I want it to sound nice. That's mm-hmm. the thing. That's the thing. Anyway.
Because you care as much about our fans as you do America.
I do. Well, I can never care that much about my fans. I care a lot about America.
You're going to give them the red, white, and blues.
So let's talk about Independence Day, Roland Emmerich's Independence Day, Roland Emmerich of Stargate fame.
Yeah.
Roland. And look, Newt, you might think I'm biased because I have a shrine to his Godzilla movie here, but I swear that's out of irony. I don't hate the guy.
I'm starting not to realize, you know.
What are your fond memories of Roland Emmerich's Independence Day?
This movie was a massive hit.
Oh, yeah, it was.
A massive hit. You couldn't turn around that summer and not see...
I got horrified watching...
I thought you were just going to say, I got hard while watching this, and I would have been like...
Well, I mean, that would have been impressive for a six-year-old. I don't know how well...
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I must have a problem then. I was telling them yesterday, I was like, they use my blood to make horse Viagra, so...
So, I remember seeing the trailer
yeah.
with, like, the big fireball and mm-hmm. being like, holy shit, that is the scariest thing I've ever seen. There was like a big theater display
yeah, yeah.
of the UFO. And I don't know if this is a false memory, but I remember little cardboard people running away from the explosion.
I don't remember that.
I found a picture of the theater display with the UFO, but for some reason I remember people running away. But I remember seeing the UFO over the city and I'm like, oh my God, is this real? What's going on here? Because I was a kid, I was mm-hmm. stupid.
Yeah.
Yeah. Huge movie when I came in.
Mm-hmm.
And loved it. Mm. Loved it. Every minute of it. It was awesome.
I liked it when I saw it because I was a kid. I liked Mars Attacks better.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm.
Nah, Kid Tony loved this way more.
Really?
He loved Mars Attacks. I mean, it's two different loves. That was a good
comment. I was in middle school, so my taste was a bit more refined.
Oh, yes. You know? Yes, yes. We talk about refined taste. It's what do you prefer more? Mars Attacks? Which 96 alien attack mm-hmm. movie do you prefer more?
It's like red or white wine. It's
exactly.
one of those selections you have to make, you know? Yeah, this was a huge hit. It was Roland Emmerich and Dean Devlin. They would go on to do, obviously, Godzilla.
Oh, yeah.
Before this, I saw...
They make several threats in this movie that they're going to do.
Yes,
Godzilla.
Exactly. Making Contact, Joey, was the first movie of theirs
okay.
that I had ever seen.
I've seen parts of that. Does a little alien fart in that?
No.
Fart a smoke cloud?
No. No, you're thinking of the Turkish E.T.
I'm thinking of Turkish
Which
E.T.
is way before that. I can't remember what the Turkish name for that is. But, yeah, no, Making Contact was basically... E.T., Poltergeist, the Indian in the Cupboard, and Goosebumps all mixed together in one. It was like a little kid's grandfather dies, and like...
Darth Vader in that?
Darth Vader's in that movie, yeah.
Okay, all right,
yeah.
That's the one I was
And
thinking.
It's got like a creepy ventriloquist dummy, yeah. and he talks to his grandfather over the like kid toy phone and stuff like that.
Right.
So I remember seeing that when I was a little kid, and then I'm like, oh yeah, those guys, because I used to read Starlog magazine... And I was like, oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So, remember in the X-Files movie, he's peeing on an Independence Day poster?
Yeah, I have a note about that later on. But now...
And this was after Men in Black, so this was...
Was it after Men in Black?
I think so. That was 95. This was the
no,
next
no,
summer.
No, Men in Black was 97, wasn't it?
Was it? So this came before Men in Black?
I'm pretty sure this came before Men in Black.
You know why we don't remember? We get neuralized.
We did get, neuralized a lot in that episode.
So yeah, this was like Will Smith. He was, you know, becoming the big... This is probably the thing that made him.
Hero, yeah.
Yeah, because like I said, he doesn't show up till 21 minutes into the movie. And I was like, oh, wow, you know?
Yeah, there's a lot of things when you watch... Well, I watched the five-star collection DVD, which comes with the extended version of the movie. So it actually takes him even longer to show up.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
9 minutes of restored footage. That's so much more Independence Day, Newt. and I'll be going through like the changes they made. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Will Smith, he takes a while to show up. And that's one of the things, like, whenever I rewatch this, I'm like, where's Will Smith?
Yeah.
And then also when I rewatch it, and I have a note at the end, it's just like, I remember for some reason, I have so many memories of him and Jeff Goldblum being together longer. They barely show
exactly.
up screen time together. Which sucks because they have good chemistry.
No, they have good chemistry. Jeff Goldblum is the best character in the movie, like the best part of the movie. Him and his dad
are
the best part of the movie.
Yeah.
And I always forget because his dad pops up, but he and his dad pop up again in part two.
Yeah.
Which was an unmitigated disaster.
Yeah.
But his dad was on that 80s show Dear John. Remember the show Dear John?
No.
You ever saw that?
No, I know he was in Taxi.
He was on Taxi as well, but he used to be on a show called Dear John in like the mid 80s that I remember watching and had no idea what it was about. It was about like some people in a group because they got Dear John letters.
I remember Channing Tatum's Dear John.
No, and I still, and I'm, there's something wrong with me because I can still remember the theme song went, Dear John, by the time you read this line, I'll be gone. And that's how the theme song goes. And he,
You remember a lot of songs.
Yeah, there's something wrong with my brain. Yeah.
You're like the Rain Man. Like, oh, remember Wild Wild West? And you just go with the whole thing. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, remember Men in Black? You're like, yeah, let me...
The Ninja Turtles one, and Mike was sitting next to me like, I'm very uncomfortable right now.
Yeah, so this, what did it go? The advertising campaign cost $24 million.
Yeah, talk about too fucking big to fail.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And the script took 4 weeks to write.
Yeah, $1.3 million alone for the Super Bowl ad that year.
Yeah, that's pretty standard, though.
And that was at what? That was 1996. 1996, who won the Super Bowl? The San Francisco 49ers won the Super Bowl that year.
I'm going to take your word for
it. With Steve Young as the quarterback.
That was a great football fact, Newt.
That was a great football fact. The U.S. military had agreed to support the film by allowing their crew to film at military bases. However, once they learned that Area 51 was in the script, they were like, nope.
Yeah, they're probably like, oh, not this shit again.
Yeah, that whole fucking thing.
Fucking, There's a point later in this movie where someone's like, there is no Area 51. I'm like, no, I don't think anyone's denying it. Like, it exists.
Yeah.
It definitely exists.
But it's like, okay, maybe there's not aliens there. But
the
no.
fact that people are like, there's no such thing as Area 51. I'm like, yeah, it is on a map. You can find it.
There's a fucking gate that says if you go past this, we can shoot you, you know?
Yeah.
Actor Rance Howard and voice actor Frank Welker both appear in this and in Mars Attacks.
That's true.
Yeah.
They made it into both. They made it into both.
Because when I forgot that Ron Howard's dad was even in this movie, when they get to that part, I was like, oh shit, it's Ron Howard's dad.
Newt, what did the people of Lebanon, the Lebanese, the home of Mia Khalifa, what did they think of this movie?
They didn't like it very much.
Oh, I wonder why.
Because there's a scene where it's like, we're going to team up with people that we hate.
The Israeli and Iraqi soldiers,
yeah.
So it was banned in Lebanon for that?
Yeah, because even if there's an alien invasion, racism and hatred over religion still has to exist.
More countries need to watch Independence.
Of course, yeah.
Obviously. But if they hate America, they're going to go in with bias. More countries need to watch Enemy Mine.
Yes.
That's a great movie.
Or if you hate America and you get to see all the American things blowing up, you just keep rewinding it and it looks like the part of Kate Winslet naked in Titanic, the tape skips.
I still haven't done my test where I go through each Titanic tape to see if it's discolored.
Yeah, when you guys were talking about that, I remember so many tapes renting them. Halloween, or Friday the 13th part 5, when they're having sex in the woods. That one scene of the chick's boobs. Her real last name is Voorhees. Deborah Voorhees.
I'm almost positive my Jason Goes to Hell sex scene might be a little worn out. Anyway, it's the uncut version. Enough about tits.
Yeah.
Let's talk about
There's always room for tits.
There's always room for tits. Hello, everyone. We're interrupting the episode because we're going to be at VHS Fest.
That's right, at the Mahoning Drive-In in Mahoning, Pennsylvania.
I've never been. Everyone always goes, and I never go because I'm never invited, but I will be going.
It's near Jim Thorpe.
Sure. What is VHS Fest? Newt, please tell us.
It's going to be on July 9th and 10th, and it's going to be a night on the big screen of classic VHS movies. Sorority Babes in a Slime Ball Bowl-O-Rama.
I love that movie.
Hollywood Chainsaw Hookers.
Classic.
Good stuff. Trauma Team's going to be there. Leanna Quigley's going to be there.
Love
Who
her.
Else is going to be there?
Fred Olin Ray.
I meant us.
Oh.
You, me, Justin, Crystal.
And Fred Olin
and
Ray.
Fred Olin Ray. My friend Fred Olin Ray, who is a B-movie director. He's amazing.
Yes.
He is going to be there at the Hack the Movies tent. Justin orders
He directed Bikini Airways. I was a big fan of that when
he
I was like 13.
Yep.
But yes, we will be there. We will be giving away some signed tapes we have, and we'll have pictures and stuff that you can buy, and we'll autograph.
T-shirts, I think.
The old Hack the Movies T-shirts.
We're gonna blow them out.
I haven't had that. I haven't used that logo in a long time, but we have so many left over because I got real overconfident a few years ago, and it took a couple of years for that to take off. But you can buy an old Hack the Movies shirt.
You needed a Newt, and you needed a Crystal.
Well, I mean.
Well,
it's funny you leave out Johanna and Justin, but I'm cool with that.
Please join us on July 9th and 10th if you are in the area for VHS Fest. It's going to be awesome. We're going to be there. If anything, just come meet Fred Olin Ray.
Bye.
Enjoy the rest of the episode.
Why do you always tag my shit when I... Bye. Let's talk about Independence Day, the
yes.
movie proper. The beginning starts with a plaque commemorating the alleged moon landing.
Which I said we were supposed to have a guest today. We were supposed to have my friend Eric Wilkinson, who's a producer.
Yes.
I wrote little notes in there about you so that he would have to be dropped into our insanity and tell him that Tony says that the moon landing never happened, just to get his reaction to it. But now that it's just us, it's just weird.
I never said it didn't happen. I'm just saying I need a little bit more evidence.
Well, I have you. I just wrote that script, and I have you from the nose down as Stanley Kubrick, because they had to fake the moon landing because the first astronauts came back as werewolves. And I have that NASA gives him a note that says on the thing, the flag is moving, and then you would write down, go fuck yourself, and circle it and hand it back to the NASA guy. Did you ever see those letters he used to send to, like, 20th Century Fox?
No.
Like, yeah, like when they said
they're weird, because I've seen two Stanley Kubrick documentaries.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, they did 2010, The Year We Make Contact.
Oh, yeah.
And then he wrote all these, like, ridiculous emails to them. And I don't know if they're real or not, but I want to believe that they're real, and it's awesome, you know?
I don't think he was writing emails when 2010.
No, he was, but, like, writing letters, yeah.
You said emails.
Because
he faked the moon landing. He must have had an early access.
Exactly. He's like the lady who wrote "I Know What You Did Last Summer." She told Stanley Kubrick. She's like, "We're gonna have GPS. We're gonna have cell phones."
Check our I know what you did last summer episode to get that reference.
Yeah.
But yeah. So you have a problem with the plaque on the moon.
So the plaque,
despite the fact you hate America, even though in this case I'm not sure it happened, but keep going.
There's a plaque on the moon that's like, you know, we come in peace, and they show the peace part, and it's but it's all in English.
Yeah.
And they just assume that the aliens will speak the Queen's English. And I'm just like, well, what if that's the reason? Like, what if they're like, the fucking hubris on these fucks. Let's go down there and fuck their shit up.
What language would have been appropriate?
Klingon. You know?
The aliens can't differentiate Klingon from English. They
might.
Know.
No, but they've probably dealt with, the only human that they've dealt with is Randy Quaid at this point.
Oh, yeah, it's
so
I want to get into that because I think I really, really do like this scene of, like, you know, the moon shaking.
Yeah.
Like what happened and, like, the cloud overturning it.
Yeah,
it looked like Star Wars, and it did.
No, that whole thing where the ship is going over it, I wrote in my notes. I'm like, remember Star Wars? There's so much of this movie. They're like, well, they're never going to remaster and re-release that movie. Let's just make our own Star Wars.
Yeah.
And then George Lucas goes, I'll show you. Yeah.
I'll put a Praxis explosion.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to stroke my little chin.
And then
he's the only person who's, as he gets older, his hairline goes down.
Yeah.
You ever notice,
like,
that?
The opposite.
Yeah. Like,
the only other one that does that is Elon Musk, but he's using plugs.
Oh, yeah. You've
seen
pictures
of
him
from the late 90s.
Yeah.
Now he has full hair. It's like, ah.
Well, he's got that LeBron James thing going on.
Oh, fuck him. He ruined my crypto portfolio. Thanks a lot.
Did you ever see that meme? Because didn't he, like, name his kid, like, THX118 or some shit like that?
Yeah, it was something like
Somebody made a meme where it was like, come over, my parents parents aren't home, and it's his son. He jumps out the window, turns into Sarscream, and flies away.
But yeah, so, you know, there's a lot of subtlety in Roland Emmerich films.
Oh, 100%.
So in this film about the world potentially ending, mm-hmm. we got to R.E.M. singing It's the End of the yeah. World, which I think was used in some of the trailers. And
yeah, it was, yep. Because the big takeaway from this movie was the White House exploding. That was the thing that everybody saw over yes. and over again, you know? Yes,
and, you know, some scientists, they get a signal.
And isn't one of them Dean Devlin?
Possibly.
Yeah.
I forgot to look into it. But they call Eric Avari.
Yeah.
Who was in Stargate.
He's becoming a fucking staple of this show.
Yeah, he was in The Mummy, too.
He was in The Mummy, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And I love that line where he's like, this better be an insanely beautiful woman or I'm hanging up. It's mm-hmm. like, does he usually get calls from insane? What yeah. if it wasn't insane?
But is this supposed to be like the wow signal? Do you know what the wow signal is?
Remind me of the wow signal.
The wow signal was this... scientists, they listen to like the satellite microscope or whatever the fuck it is, and some thing that was not an anomaly in space made a signal, so the guy just wrote wow and circled it.
Oh, it like, oh yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I know so that. People who believe in like extraterrestrials and all that kind of stuff, they think that it was
it says Cooper.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Cooper. The owls are not what they think. you know what reminds me? Remember the bloop?
Yeah, the underwater thing.
Yeah, I remember there were, like, people like were crazy. Mm-hmm. Like, what is it? What is it? You know what it was? It was a glacier.
Yeah.
Apparently, they knew like right away it was a glacier.
But we had to make people think that it's like a sea monster or some shit.
Yeah, people were like, what was it? And I think like, because I remember looking back at it, because I'm like, oh, did they ever figure it out? Apparently, scientists back then were like, yeah, it's most likely a glacier yeah. ripping, and it made a large enough sound because it was a giant glacier.
It's like the famous, the Patterson-Gimli Bigfoot footage where... Yeah. Right before they filmed that, Patterson-Gimli bought a gorilla suit from a, like, costume magazine yeah. that was the same thing. But people are like, that's what they want you to think. And I'm exactly. like, who's they?
Or
like,
the Montauk Monster.
The Montauk Monster. And it was just, yeah, it was with mange or something like that, you know?
Well, no, not even mange. It was just dead.
Oh.
And it was decayed and it didn't have its cute little face. Mm-hmm. I thought it was a monster.
What's that? That's,
You're thinking of the El Chupacabra.
Well, there's that,
and
too.
And it's always just like a coyote or raccoon with mange.
Yeah. But what's that called? It's Plum Island, isn't it? Isn't that what it's called, Long Island? Because that's where they were going to send Hannibal Lecter.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Right. I'm trying to think of other hoaxes right now.
Well,
we were talking about aliens.
The Loch Ness Monster, it was just a gynecologist yeah. put like a head on a boat.
Right.
You know?
Oh, remember the underwater, the sewer monsters?
And it was just...
It was just a cluster of worms yeah, moving uh-huh. together. Yeah.
But there was another one that they tried to release, and it was these guys doing a commercial for in England about like... cleaning out your gutters and shit like that yeah. and people clip that piece of the little CGI monster that's poke its head out and they thought it was like a real thing, and I'm like, what? Why is everyone so stupid?
Anyway, yes, wow signal. It's probably yeah. wow mm-hmm. signal. And then who's Kevin's dad from Wonder Years? Is that Robert Loggia?
No.
Who's the other one?
The Kevin's Wonder Years dad is the guy, the first one they meet with. He's also in The Spirit.
But yeah, they're just like, wow, what the hell is this? That's scary. And the space command at the Pentagon is very confused as mm-hmm. to what the ship is.
Yeah.
But I think today our modern Space Force would have a better idea because they're more well-equipped. And mm-hmm. shout out to the Space Force people.
Steve Carell's the captain of that, right?
No, that is a horrible show. Horrible show.
I never saw it.
That misrepresents the facts. And our brave people at the Space Force are keeping our space clean and safe for us. And then you have an idea, like, what if there was a West Wing episode where it was just aliens?
Yeah, like, what if, like, yeah, so what if, because you ever watched The West Wing?
When it was on,
it's a fairly realistic drama. And, like, what if you went, like, 3 seasons of that?
Martin Sheen?
Martin Sheen was in it, yeah. What if you went 3 seasons of that, and then all of a sudden there's an alien invasion episode, and the rest of the series becomes like that, and you're like, well, that came out of nowhere.
Like, my parents watch a lot of soap operas. Mm-hmm. And, like, once in a while, they'll do something really fucking goofy.
Yeah, like...
there's aliens this time. It's like, what?
No, yeah, like, there was General Hospital. My mom used to watch it when I was a kid. I had to stop what I was doing because they're like, he created a weather control machine, and only Luke and Laura can stop it. And I went, you know what? I want to know more about this.
And then we meet the president.
Yeah.
Bill Pullman. And his daughter, who is Mae Whitman. And I'm really sad they didn't bring her back for the sequel.
Who's Mae Whitman?
She plays Maybe in Arrested Development.
Oh.
She was one of the exes in Scott Pilgrim.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
She's on that show Bad Girls or something, I think.
Oh, shit. I didn't realize that was her.
Yeah. I love Mae Whitman.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, they did the sequel. And I'm like, oh, well, she's, like, a big star now. They'll clearly bring her back. And they're like, no, it's the It Follows girl. I'm like, Oh, okay.
You know, like they brought back Will Smith for the sequel.
Yeah, yeah, that didn't happen.
No.
They had a picture of him.
They did.
They had a picture.
And it was so fucking funny, too, because, like, in the dogfight scene in the in the same clips where the government chased the Hulk in the Eric Bana Hulk movie, he's, like, able to do all this shit, and he's super awesome. But then the second one, they're like, oh, yeah, he just died in an experimental ship. Whoopsie doodle.
Oh, because they wanted to bring him back in one. So, yeah, we, the little girl, as the president's talking to the first lady, the little girl turns on the TV, and there's all these pundits on there, and they're disagreeing with the president because they hate America. They're basically you.
Lou Dobbs did me dirty.
they just hate freedom.
Yeah.
And then we get a satellite,
mm-hmm.
and it's like, I think it's an old satellite. It's not being used because it's like broken. Yeah. Maybe that's just what satellites look like. I'm not a satellitologist. I don't know what the proper term is.
It's the one that brought Mac and me to Earth.
Yeah. Here's what I want to know. Again, I don't know about satellites.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they show it like going near the mothership and getting like smaller and smaller and smaller. Yeah. And then it explodes. Satellites have a lot of gas on them.
Well, are they made in Italy?
Good question.
Because we watched Final Justice for a commentary for a video that's coming up. And everything in that movie that's remotely touched explodes.
To be fair, that was in Malta.
It was in Malta. But those could be Italy satellites. Which later explains why they cut the Italians out of the movie. Oh no, they're going to find out about our satellites.
When you guys watch this movie, and we'll be plugging it later on this year. Yeah, literally everything gets two bullet holes and then it just explodes.
So we had to keep calling Trisha to ask her in Italy, hey, are cars made of dynamite in Italy?
But yeah, so I always love this scene and like the satellite hits. I'm like, wait a minute, what's in the satellite that would cause that big of an explosion? Again, I don't know a lot about satellites. Let me know what kind of fuel source.
Well, that's where we have extra gasoline. We just keep it in satellites and we bring them down. Oh, so you get the shots of the Statue of Liberty.
Oh, yeah.
Which, it's so fucking stupid.
Yeah.
And so, like, that was an editing choice.
Yeah.
It's like, Statue of Liberty from far away. Boom!
Boom!
The tablet she's holding. Boom! And it's like, what the fuck? And then they do it on later in the movie. And then they'll do it again for the rest of the movie.
It's almost like a Devil's Advocate, where it had constantly the time, time lapses.
Ugh.
We find, what you call it, Jeff Goldblum?
Yeah.
And he's
sexy
playing,
ass Jeff Goldblum.
Sexy ass, Jeff Goldblum. He is, an annoying environmentalist.
Which is funny because he was a voice on, Captain Planet and the Planeteers.
Yes, he was. But
which was about
like
saving
the
environment.
Episode, I think.
I know, but still.
But yeah, annoying environmentalist. He's hung up on his ex and he just.
You know, Phil Collins wrote the theme song to Captain Planet?
You son of a bitch. You know I'm doing a joke. You know I'm doing a joke and you keep saying yeah, I know that Phil Collins.
Mm-hmm.
I will unplug your mic. So he's an.
Go ahead. I'm not saying another word.
He's an annoying environmentalist, hung up on his ex and disagrees with his father. Basically, Newt. Anyway.
I fucking wish I was Jeff Goldblum. That dude, there's a picture of that guy that's getting older somewhere, but he doesn't. Like, he stopped aging in 1998. Now he's like got like sexy, like yoga wife.
He adds a little bit of aging to not draw too much suspicion. Mm-hmm. He's like, well, I have white hair now.
Yeah.
It's like, okay.
I loved him in Thor Ragnarok. And they,
oh, yeah.
How old does that make you? And he pops his collar and goes. And they steal his orgy ship. Do you think these aliens have an orgy ship?
No.
Oh.
Yeah, so they Goldblum says bye to his father, mm-hmm. goes back to his work, and someone mentions, because the signals are going out,
yeah.
the satellites are all screwed up, and some guy's just like, yes, yes, I love the X-Files, too. The X-Files were not a fan of Independence Day.
No.
Which, if you watch the later seasons of X-Files, they don't have fucking room.
No, at all. Yeah. Everything after the movie could get fucked on the X-Files.
It would have been fine if season 6 was a way to wrap up everything.
Yeah.
But then they started a new plot line, and then they got rid of Mulder in 7. And
yeah. No, because like the one that like really pissed me off was the one where Mulder and the dude from It's Spinal Tap switch bodies.
Oh, that
like,
one was fun.
That episode just gets on my nerves.
That was fun. That was fun. That was a two-part.
And the old Native American lady, like, she's got the, like, the mind of, like, a young fighter pilot, and she's, like, smoking a cigarette.
Oh, that one's up!
Yeah.
That's the worst one.
Yeah.
That was season 4.
Okay.
Anyway, yeah, in the X-Files movie, Mulder pees on a poster mm-hmm. for the
yeah.
Harvey Fierstein's great.
He's great in this movie, yeah.
David!
I almost wish that he was the star of the movie. Like, Harvey Fierstein versus aliens, and the aliens are like, what the fuck is up with that dude's voice? And his awful ADR in this movie.
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah, he's, like, panicking and everything. Mm-hmm. Jeff Goldblum's like, relax, relax, you're not recycling!
Yeah, hey, there's Fruitopia here. I saw that, and I was like, remember Fruitopia?
Yeah, Fruitopia.
Plus, every single human in this movie looks like they're the most 90s human ever.
It is a very 90s.
Yeah.
It is super.
Everyone in that office has haircuts and outfits and stuff like that. And I'm just like, oof.
We meet, speaking of Mrs. Doubtfire, mm-hmm. Harvey Fierstein was in that. What is it? We meet the daughter for Mrs. Doubtfire?
Mrs. Doubtfire. And then the son or the brother looks like off-brand Keanu Reeves.
Yeah.
Like, he looks like he, like, Keanu Reeves wasn't left in long enough and they took him out early. Like,
And they're getting yelled at by some guy because his crops are all fucked. He blames his dad. Mm-hmm. His dad is Randy Quaid.
Randy Quaid, who my favorite part about this movie is Randy Quaid became this character in real life.
Yeah, and he quoted the character in a clip that we're not allowed to show.
I'll never forget when all that shit was happening. Justin was like, did you see this? And I'm like, this is funny, but we should call someone. Like, he needs help. Like,
it's like when Dennis. Why isn't Dennis on top of this?
Yeah, exactly. Dennis Quaid's like, I got what nothing to do with this shit.
I really like the shot of the saucers mm-hmm. detaching from the mothership.
Yeah.
Again, I've been talking about this a lot lately in Titanic and whatnot. Mm-hmm. 90s miniatures, man. That was like the highlight of miniatures.
This movie has some great miniatures in it, too.
Yeah, and I like those look like sand dollars.
Mm-hmm. Well, they have like almost like a kind of dialed down Borg look,
yeah,
where they look elemental kind of, but not really. Like, there's no like crazy hieroglyphics and shit. It's like, you know, because it was probably, again, like the Borg, they probably went to other civilizations and just co-opted their technology, yeah, you know, because they're basically a locust in this movie. They just go from planet to planet, you know?
But it really like hypes up the mothership because you never see the mothership until the very
end. Mm-hmm.
But then you see the size of these ships, and then you know that they're like hundreds that belonged on another ship.
Yeah,
like, how big is that fucking
other? Exactly.
But yeah, they're all coming to Earth now.
Mm-hmm.
So they send pilots mm-hmm. to get a closer look at it.
Yeah.
So the thing's clearly on fire, burning up in our atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
And they go into the cloud. And then they get killed by fire.
Yeah.
It's like, well, what were you expecting? Like, what did you expect? It's not even like it was a cloud and they didn't know there was fire. It's so clearly on fire.
So you're saying the American government isn't perfect. Is that what you're saying right now?
The government isn't, but the military, man. Look, they were facing an enemy they knew. But also, why did they go into the fire cloud? Why did they go into the fire?
Because they're like, hey, we got all this money for special effects. What are we going to do with it? I don't know. Fire? Sounds good to me, Roland Emmerich. You too, Dean Devlin.
But it's just like, you couldn't think of anything else? Like,
there's a couple times in this movie where I thought to myself, you couldn't think of anything else? Like,
they could have cut more out.
Yeah.
Like, that scene, it's an exciting scene, but it doesn't make sense when you think about it.
This movie is 2 hours and 30 minutes long.
2 hour and 39 minutes. I watched the version. I didn't.
So I put it on HBO and I'm like, yeah, this isn't a long movie. And I was,
it's a long one.
I'm watching it in my office and I'm like, this fucking movie is 2 hours and 30 minutes long. Like,
well, it had to be. It has 7,000 characters.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And again, like Mars Attacks, set up like a Irwin Allen movie, like The Towering Inferno, The Poseidon Adventure, Earthquake, all these people in different places. They all have their own stories and how all these stories intersect and then meet in the end. That's what all those movies were. So I get it. This was kind of the start of the big budget disaster movie again.
Yeah, I mentioned this a lot. This was one of those, like, Jurassic Park was the game changer.
Yeah.
And this was like, oh, you know those corny alien movies? Now we're going to be big budget alien movies.
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, Jaws was a big budget version of a creature feature.
Yeah.
Star Wars was a big budget version of a 50s sci-fi movie.
Jurassic Park sped it up a
lot. Oh, yeah, big time, yeah.
You got that, you got like The Relic, which mm-hmm. I covered, is like a big budget monster.
Congo, which you love.
Congo was an attempt at the jungle adventure on a big budget, didn't work.
And now they're gonna, I just remember that they're doing a Jungle Cruise movie with The Rock and Emily Blunt for Disney, and I was like, wait, that's a thing? And then I was like, oh yeah, that was supposed to come out like 2 years ago.
Yeah. Guys, stop watching Disney movies, please. Like, Disney remakes and theme park themed movies. Can you just... Because, like, I don't care. I don't watch it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like every time they announce one of those fucking things, I just got to see people bitching about it nonstop. It's like, can you believe who they picked for this role? And I can't.
Ariel is black. And I'm like, Ariel is fictional, motherfucker. Ariel could be whatever.
She's a fish. And also, I don't care.
Yeah, that's
Stop.
My
thing. Just don't see the fucking movie.
That's it. Yeah, like, oh, there's a new. Hey, did you see there's a new Transformers movie? I go, great. I don't care. You know?
Just don't see them.
They gave Supergirl short hair. Yeah, she does in the Injustice. Oh, Superman got shot with a kryptonite bullet. I'm mad. Why? It happened in the comics.
It happens all the time.
Yeah, like.
Although Supergirl's ratings did go down when they gave her pants on the TV show. And now I think they're canceling
it.
You think the Flash guy would be like, let's not make that mistake.
He takes his pants off. Like, they called me the Flash.
Stop. Just stop watching the Disney remake.
Yeah.
Please, for the love of God, I don't feel like hearing people bitch about it.
Mike, we
know too many people who give a shit about Disney.
Mike Matei and I went out to lunch today, and we were talking about that. I was like, remember when you used to, like, care about pop culture? Remember, like, when you wanted to know things, like reading Starlog? And now I'm just like, I almost, like, I'm cringing when I'm ready, when they say news of something is going to come out, because I'm like, everyone needs a job and a hobby.
So Randy Quaid, he's an alcoholic loser.
Yeah.
He's crop dusting the wrong.
Oh, in real life, or like his, his character in Independence, I'm sorry, I got
his
confused
character
there.
In Independence Day, he's an alcoholic loser. Mm-hmm. He's crop dusting the wrong field.
Yeah.
He's going to get more drinks, and people are making fun of him. I do like this timing, though, where they're just like, oh, you were abducted by aliens. Did they do sexual things?
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, 5 seconds later, a UFO shows up.
But my whole idea was, what if they did do sexual things to him? And then they were like, have you ever, like, you hooked up with somebody and you're like, it's probably not going to happen again, but I'd really like it if that happened again. And you kind of go through hoops to see if you could position yourself again. What if the mothership came back? Because that is the best. That man pussy.
They're like Randy Quaid. It never got better than that.
Nope, it's like, yeah.
Guys, we're going there.
His finger lights up and goes, yo, if you got anything,
but
it's like
one alien that wants to do it, but he can't just. So it's like the alien invasion is just a cover. It just really wants to get back to
Randy Quaid.
Like, I really think we should conquer Earth. And they're like, well, it's not that big. It's like, no, I think it'll be good.
Yeah, and then the humans are like, look, they destroyed DC. They destroyed New York.
Give them Randy Quaid.
And then Randy, it's like the ceremony in Star Trek 3 for Spock, but it's like Randy Quaid. They remove his pants and like the whole world watches as the aliens deflower Randy Quaid to save humanity. They build statues to it.
Can we get Randy Quaid on the show?
We probably could.
I feel like he wouldn't leave if we invited him.
I'll be like, yo, Walter Murdoch's here, and he wants to talk to you. And
Rupert Murdoch.
Who's Walter Murdoch?
I have no idea who Walter Murdoch is.
Well, he might not understand me on the call, and he's like, oh, Rupert Everett. Yeah, Rupert Everett and Walter Murdoch are here.
From Inspector Gadget?
Yeah, and Boz Kanata's here as well.
Oh, yeah. The other day, we were talking about Independence Day.
Mm-hmm.
We were explaining the sequel, how as mad the queen alien looks nothing like them.
Yeah.
You were like, oh, it's like Boz Kanata. And I'm like, he's like, yeah, you know the Gungans? And I'm like, that wasn't that character's name. It's Boss Nass.
I thought his name was Boz Kanata for some reason. For years, I thought that. It's like, did you ever see that skit where it's like, you know, Grand Moff Tarkin? No, it's Grand Moff Tarkin. Oh, shit, I've been calling him the wrong thing this whole time.
So.
Yeah. So Randy Quaid, they're going to build a statue of him being bent over by an alien.
No, I'm skipping past.
Okay.
This is where we meet Will Smith.
Yeah.
But the little boy is running around. He kicks a Godzilla toy as he's running past the King Ghidorah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, okay, I know that's next.
Yeah.
Like, do you think they knew that it was next?
Probably.
You think?
Yeah.
Because
that took a couple years to develop, too, so.
That's true.
But maybe not, though. Maybe they were trying to position themselves because, remember, Jan DeBont had to drop out at the last minute, and then
I also think maybe it's just a coincidence, like Christopher Nolan's first film, Following. Yeah. There's like the guy's apartment has bats on it, and there's like a Superman comic, and just by coincidence, he ended up producing those.
Or you have like in Night of the Creeps on the bathroom wall, it's spray painted Monster Squad rules.
Oh, Halloween! They put the thing in there.
Oh yeah,
John Carpenter ends up reading. Yep. So yeah. Anyway, enjoy my Godzilla 98 run. So yeah, Will Smith finally shows up, and he's just like not waking up for this shit. He's like, oh, earthquake.
But he's peeing in like the windows where his neighbors can look in.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I love the shot of the craft coming out of the smoke.
That's awesome. That is a great shot.
It still looks
It still looks good.
It still holds up.
But again, it's like the people, him and his wife, like, they don't look up. Like, it's like dogs can't look up. Isn't that
But then remember in New York, when it's happening in New York, there's like a shot under the bridge, like kids playing basketball. Mm-hmm. When the aliens show up, it's just like everyone from every walk of life is just hanging out underneath the same
bridge. That's the whole thing. Yeah, there's these like 90s kids playing basketball, and then this like white-haired businessman walks out. I was like, wait a minute. Forget about the aliens for a minute. Why is he watching those kids?
And then there's a 7-car pileup at one point.
And I said, New York drivers.
Goldblum is, you know, studying the signal, mm-hmm. and he realizes it's a countdown.
Yeah.
And since he's great at chess, he knows what that means.
Checkmate.
Also, do you think his dad is supposed to be Jewish in this movie?
You know, he is.
Okay, I was getting a faint impression.
They say it at the very end.
Oh,
but
okay.
But they put a lot of subtle hints in the movie.
It got to the point where I'm like, who wrote this movie? Was this Dean Devlin and Roland Emmerich?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, like, it almost got offensive at a point.
Oh, I'll tell you. so, yeah, he tells Harvey Fierstein, he's like, you guys got to get out. Mm-hmm. By the way, everyone else at the cable company that he works for went to, like, a bomb shelter.
Yeah.
You never check in on those people. Are they okay?
They're fine.
Okay.
Well, they were fine until they got out and their glasses fell off and they couldn't read all the books.
Yeah, so he's like, you gotta warn everyone. He's like, I gotta tell my mother, my brother, my lawyer. Forget my lawyer.
Yeah, but he obviously says, fuck my lawyer. But
oh,
it's
yeah.
80 yard in the movie and it says, forget my lawyer. It's almost like our, what country is, getting to see Fast and the Furious first?
Oh, I'm glad you asked. It is the
Republic of China.
It was 80 yard like that.
Yeah. I went to a voice to text website that Republic of China because I was too lazy to come. Mm-hmm. I don't know why Vivica A. Fox is so shocked that Will Smith has to go back to the base
when there's fucking aliens.
She's like, you had off this weekend. It's like, yeah, until the fucking aliens showed up.
Yeah, sorry, Jasmine.
Yeah, and he would fit in with Mars Attacks because he's like, they're fine. They're not going to start anything.
Yeah, they didn't drive a million miles to start some shit. You know?
It's like, no, that's literally
no, that's what all they want. Yeah.
They went out of their way to come here.
Because they wanted that sweet, sweet Randy Quaid man pussy.
So, yeah, speaking of Randy Quaid.
Mm-hmm.
He gets arrested and his kids are watching it on TV.
Yeah.
And I love they cut back to that guy. And he's like, the aliens abused him.
Sexual. Oh, that scene was really good, though.
You ever get arrested, I'm just going to do that. I'm like, dude, he's got a lot of problems.
If you
make stuff
if
up.
You don't do that, I'm going to be offended.
He's very confused all the time.
There's a video online of him dressed as Batman saying he might be gay. I don't know.
So, one of the things they cut out.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this scene is in the theatrical cut where Randy Quaid's daughter's hooking up with a guy. And he's like, you don't want to tie a virgin, do you?
How many times a day do you say that to me?
All the time.
Yeah.
All the time.
I wish we had an HR department here. Tony told me HR stands for harassment rules at Hack the Movies Video, so I'm worried.
Anyway, this becomes like a subplot that they cut out. Like, she just wants to get laid the mm-hmm. rest of the movie, and she meets another nice guy, and then it leads to a thing later on where she tells the guy, you don't want to die a virgin, do you? And I'll tell you more about that scene later on.
Holy shit.
But they also cut out, the kid is yelling at Randy Quaid, and a little bit of this is in there.
Okay.
I think he says, like, you're not my dad, you're just the guy who married my mom. Does he say that in the theatrical cut?
I don't remember. Yeah, because they look like they're, like, Hispanic or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, I think the first two kids aren't Randy's, but the youngest one.
The youngest one looks like it could be his kid.
Yeah. The youngest kid has a medical condition. I forget exactly what it is. And he's like, I gotta buy a medicine. It's so expensive.
It's McGregor syndrome.
Yes. And the kid's like, I don't care about my medicine. And he breaks it and shatters his only medicine bottle.
Oh, no.
That's why later in the movie, he pulls over to throw up.
Because he's sick,
but
yeah.
I always thought that was car sickness until I watched his version.
So he probably has, like, his chemo or something.
Yeah,
like
so
that.
That's like a... Those are two subplots with his kids that are just rightly trimmed out.
Yeah.
Gives a shit.
Yeah.
Like, so
they're like,
to
look,
the point, the characters didn't even need to be there. You only really needed the oldest brother.
Yeah, exactly.
To be honest.
Because he could just say at the end, like, tell my son I love him. Or something like that.
Yeah.
And then his son, he's like, he was my dad the whole time.
Yeah. So Harry Connick Jr. is in this.
Fucking Harry Connick Jr., man. My mom has his Christmas album.
Oh, she does?
Yeah. He's like the weird, like, you know, like, Justin with his Pokemon, they evolve. It was like, it's like Harry Connick Jr. evolves into Joe Bob Briggs, who evolves into fucking the dude who sang Wicked Game. What's that guy's name? He was in, he was one of the SWAT guys in Silence of the Lambs.
Chris Isaac.
Chris Isaac, yeah. That is the sexiest fucking song ever. Like, if I could sing, I would sing that song. Yeah. Do you know that he was David Lynch's college roommate?
Is that why he Because he did that song for that one movie he did with Nicolas Cage.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They shot two videos.
Yeah.
And then he was, yeah, he was in Twin Peaks Fire Walk.
Yep.
Anyway.
He was in a music video for, Baby Did a Bad, Bad Thing.
Oh, Eyes Wide Shut.
Yeah. It is a good movie.
yeah, so he's basically like, because Will Smith gets denied going to NASA.
Yeah.
And he's like, you're never going to go to NASA dating a stripper. It's like, oh, and marrying a stripper because he wants to get married to Jasmine. It's like, I don't think they can say, who knows? Maybe there's someone who's like, oh, I heard his wife's a stripper. That's a bad image for the American. Maybe, but like, I don't think that automatically disqualifies you. I think if you're a good enough pilot, they're like, all right, let him in.
If we ever like colonize another planet, I want to be the guy who brings strippers and like stuff there. And my tagline will be, they ain't nothing to do on Mars but studying the rocks and knocking the boots.
but I disagree with Harry Connick Jr.
Yes.
As a sex worker myself on a website, I'm not allowed to talk about on YouTube because then YouTube will be like, what are you doing? And then they get rid of it.
Yeah.
But I was very offended.
Yeah, they're really mean to exotic dancers in this movie.
Yeah. And then we cut to her exotic dancing. Mm-hmm. And it's so funny because no one's watching the dancer because they're watching the TV. And it's like, well, yeah, why did any of you go to work that night?
Again, so like in Mars Attacks where like field trips are happening after the Martians attack and stuff like that. If aliens are hovering over your city right now, we're closed.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
There's dial-up internet. You could look at titties on the internet, you know, get a couple AOL floppy disks.
Yeah, but she's pissed.
Yeah.
That no one's paying and no one's paying attention. Her friend Tiffany.
Again, the writers, Dean Devlin and Roland Emmerich, were like, what's a stripper name? Tiffany and Jasmine. Not a crystal in the bunch.
I know.
You're missing out.
So yeah, she's talking to Tiffany. Tiffany's like, I made a sign, welcome Earth. And I've met a bunch of strippers. Tiffany's surprisingly accurate. Like, I feel like the strippers I know would 100%.
But it's funny because in part two, Vivica A. Fox is a doctor. So she was stripping to put herself through medical school. And it's the first time in history that actually was a thing.
Chris Rock has a whole joke about
that. Oh, I never got a smart lap dance in my life.
My theory was. So this scene, she tells her not to go to the party.
Mm-hmm.
And then, in the extended cut, we find out her son's at the strip club in the office.
Oh, no.
Playing, this time, with Mecha King Ghidorah. He's got a real Godzilla thing.
Yeah.
This was the mid-90s, and even before, like, the reason kids like me got so excited for the Godzilla remake is because a lot of the Japanese ones were coming out on video, and there were so many Godzilla
They were on
toys.
TV a lot, too, like the Sci-Fi Channel. Originally used to run a lot of those era.
So we were growing up watching these, the new and old Godzilla movies with the brand new toys.
Yeah.
And then we found out there was a newer Godzilla.
Yeah.
So she's like taking him and her boss comes in. An Italian gentleman named Mario with a mustache.
Oh.
Heavy set Italian gentleman. He's basically
he left his job as a plumber to,
But he's like, what are you doing with this kid in here? And she's like, you find a babysitter now. And he's like, you leave, you're fired. And she's like, goodbye, Mario. And I'm like, of course, his name was fucking.
And as she left, he made the sound when Mario
And again,
dies.
I'm struggling to say Mario, because as we all know, I say Mario.
I say Mario.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to put a rule here saying no Mario.
No Mario. Do you say a data or data? Do you ever see that thing? It's like,
oh, let me see.
When Data's in this movie.
He is.
Brent Spiner.
Is. So I don't know if this was in the theatrical cut, but Goldblum and his dad, he gets his dad to drive because he doesn't have a driver.
That's in the movie, yeah.
That is. And they're headed to the White House.
Mm-hmm.
But on the way there, like, because they're the only ones going to DC, suddenly a bunch of cars are in the opposite direction, and
yeah.
Judd Hirsch has to do reckless driving and drive through a barricade.
No, that's not in there. Okay.
Because it's a stupid scene that definitely could have been cut out. They never mentioned it again. The car doesn't look damaged.
But I was like, when his
they wanted to give Judd Hirsch an action
scene. Well, he has one in part two. He's driving the bus.
True.
He's like, they got people to take care of this. If they need HBO, they'll call you.
Because he makes fun of him. He's like, oh, you went to all those schools, mm-hmm. and now you're doing cable?
Yeah. But him and his dad have the best chemistry in the movie. They're the only ones who feel like actual characters.
Yeah.
Like, Will Smith is just there to, like, shout buzzwords at the screen, yeah. you know?
So they send a helicopter
mm-hmm.
to communicate.
A
welcome wagon to communicate with the ship. And it's got, like, lights and stuff. I don't know, was that Morse code? I don't know what the hell
they should have used music, like, in Close Encounters.
Yeah, and then the aliens just shoot it.
Yeah.
And it's like, why even bother?
No.
Like, they have no weapon that could affect you, as we learn. And it's just like, you're gonna blow them all up in a second anyway. Yeah. Why not give them a heads up?
Exactly.
But,
we needed another action scene.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so we're seeing around the world.
Mm-hmm.
Around the world. Everyone preparing to, you know, with the UFOs.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a street leading all the way up to the Empire State Building. Have you been to New York?
Yes.
Okay. There's no street that just leads up to the Empire. It's in the middle of like a block. Like there's no,
well, maybe,
the MetLife building.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That, like they framed it as if it were the MetLife, which I forget. Is it the Citibank building? I forget what it is now. But they frame it as if it's the road leading up to the MetLife building. I'm like, that's not where the Empire State Building.
It's set up like the one in Wayne Tower in The Dark Knight.
Yeah.
You
like
know?
Chicago. Yeah. Which is a real tower.
Mm-hmm. Maybe it was like a forced perspective. They have another building in front of it. It's like Disney. They make things look like they blend in.
Where are they in LA? What building is that? It's not the Die Hard building, is it?
No, they're the one that Tiffany's on top of.
I forget what building.
I thought it was like it wasn't the Tower Records one.
I don't remember.
Yeah.
I have to look up.
It's a building, and it's full of stupid fucking idiots who deserve to die.
And Harry Firestein's like on the phone with his therapist, mm-hmm. Dr. Katz, I think.
Which I said, was that supposed to be Dr. Katz, the cartoon? Remember the 90s cartoon Dr. Katz?
Yeah.
It was like a squiggly animated.
Our Cracked magazine mm-hmm. has Dr. Katz with the South Park kids.
So I was like, oh, Dr. Katz, that's good. He's like, for this much money, you could put me through to his house in the Hamptons. Yeah. Like,
Jeff Goldblum's there telling the president, he's like, mm-hmm. they're counting down. They're about to strike.
But that was after, like, apparently he punched the president once.
Yeah, you find out that Jeff Goldblum's ex-wife is like the press secretary or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And he thought she was sleeping with the president. Yeah. So he punched the president. And like, dad's like, you punched the president? He's like, he wasn't president.
And then the president walks in. He's like, I don't have time for this.
But he basically tells him, like, hey, they're counting down. They're about to attack.
They're using our own satellites against us.
Right, because they need to bounce the mm-hmm. signal off to communicate.
And he draws a thing about like how the Earth and all that. So,
And I think we forgot to mention the president's an ex-war hero. He's like a pilot.
He was a fighter pilot. Yeah, and so was Randy Quaid. He was a Vietnam fighter pilot.
Let me see here.
Everybody, it's like in certain movies in the 90s where everyone knows karate.
Oh,
you know, like a Cynthia Rothrock movie, everyone knows kung fu. In this one, just everyone knows how to fly a plane, you know?
So, yeah, the aliens attack.
Mm-hmm.
And it's awesome.
It's awesome.
There's some dodgy blue screen mm-hmm. compositing.
Yeah.
They weren't quite there yet. They got better.
But all the miniature explosions are fucking
great. The miniatures are
great.
And you know how they did those, right? Because they also did it for Team America.
Yes, yep.
They put the sets vertical.
Mm-hmm.
And then they shoot the fireball up at a high speed.
Yeah.
So then it looks like the fire, because you can't make fire move vertical.
Exactly.
Like that. And it works really, really well. But there's so many weird character moments. Mm-hmm. Like the guy who's filing papers.
Yeah, okay. So, as much as I like Batman, as much as I like Batman versus Superman, there's like the guy conducting business while gods are fighting outside, and it's like, what? Like, no. But later on, we get them back because we one of our nukes goes into the aliens' offices.
I love. He's just like, working late.
Yeah.
Burning the midnight oil. What's that? Oh! in theaters.
It's like in Superman 2 where there's like gods fighting.
And the guy's like on the phone.
The guy's on fucking roller skates with French fries. And it's like, stop it. Stop it, Richard Lester.
You leave Richard Lester alone. He loved America.
He was French though, wasn't he?
Whatever.
Or British.
Whatever.
He made it Hard Day's Night.
Whatever.
We finally released the Donner Cut.
So yeah, this was the most horrifying thing in the world to watch as a kid,
because
it looked so real as a kid in the 90s.
Like, yeah, it's pretty, I, again, my mind goes places sometimes. Like, well, I used to think, like, well, what if there was a zombie outbreak? Like, what happened? Mm. What if aliens attack tomorrow? And your brain starts going, like, what would you do? And I was like, when I saw this as a kid, I was like, oh, no matter what, we're fucked, you know?
You know what I would do? I'd burn the midnight oil and be filing.
Yeah, in the tapes. This place is so full of lead paint, though. You might survive. Like,
I'm going to cut to me just being like, oh.
Someone forgot to return Dirty Dancing 2, Havana Nights. Hey, what's that sound outside?
We don't have Dirty Dancing 2. We have both. We have two copies of Dirty Dancing 1, but not Dirty
Dancing
2.
How about Basic Instinct 2?
No, we don't know that. Sorry. Vivica A. Fox.
We have Sweet Home Alabama.
That's a good one.
With Reese Witherspoon.
I like Vivica A. Fox and her dog, Boomer.
Yeah.
Come on, Boomer.
Okay,
like,
Boomer.
What was the dog doing? Dog's like, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, someone said my name. Like, wouldn't you have been following them the whole time?
Oh, when she's in the tunnel?
Yeah.
The tunnel from daylight?
Which, by the way, I get that they were like in a little thing to avoid the fireball. That much fire going through the tunnel is going
to dead.
They're going to suck the oxygen out. And if they don't get burned, they're going to suck the oxygen.
Yeah, and how about like, oh, I know I can get into this thing by kicking it, but I'm not going to tell any of these people. They're all dead now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To be fair, she does pick up people along the way later on. Especially a character you would hate that I'll get to.
Well, but after she finds, just like in every movie we watch, there just so happens to be the keys above the
thing. That happens a lot.
Yeah.
The shot in New York destroyed looks awesome.
It's awesome, yeah. With the fucking Statue of Liberty's down.
Maniacs, you blew it up!
The apes go like, no, you know what? You guys can keep this planet. We're gonna...
Oh, shit. There goes the planet.
Yeah.
Harry Connick Jr.'s name is Jimmy Wilder.
Yes, and he dies in this, and I want to believe that this is the prequel to Van Wilder, and the reason that Ryan Reynolds acts out is because he grew up without a dad.
And what's this Black Knight thing? Black Knight satellite? What?
Oh, okay. So they're called the Black Knights. That's their group. Again, in UFO mythos, there's a piece of space debris that's apparently in our atmosphere.
Yeah.
But it looks like, in certain camera angles, it looks like a person. So they call it the Black Knight. Okay. And then there's like a story about Nikola Tesla that no one can verify, that he made contact with a satellite in our atmosphere, but all it really is probably like the Russians accidentally released like a heat blanket and they caught it at a certain angle. Yeah. But if you look it up, we'll put a picture of here what the Black Knight is. But I thought, I thought that was a cool, I was like, that's really fucking stupid, but that would be cool. So I wrote a whole screenplay about it once.
So we need an action scene.
Yeah.
They all go to attack the one UFO.
Mm-hmm.
And the UFO.
This is after he's like, is there a problem, Will Smith? And he's like, I just want to get up there and kick E.T.'s ass.
Yes. So the spaceship.
And that's the dad from the show with the Down syndrome kid that I used to watch.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I got to confirm or deny if that was my co-star.
Yes.
Right. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the spaceship opens up and like just thousands of fighter ships.
Yeah.
But why?
Just let them fly into the fucking thing and die, or go back down there and be like, well, we're just going to blow everything up.
It looks awesome. Don't get me wrong. It looks awesome. This whole scene's great.
Again,
it's
because
really cool.
Remember Star Wars?
Yes. But it's not as good as Star Wars, but on an effects level, it was way cooler. It's because it was in the daytime. You needed those weird matte lines. Like, it looked nice and smooth for the 90s. And it got me excited for the prequels.
Well, no, you would have had the re-releases in 97.
Yes, but those were scenes I already saw before. But you see Independence Day.
Yeah, but you didn't get to see something awesome like the new rock song in Jabba's Palace.
Which, remember, we like. Because George Lucas did nothing wrong. Remember that. That's the narrative we go by.
And what's music called in Star Wars?
Jizz.
Jizz.
Anyway. So yeah, the dogfighting's awesome when they're going through the canyon.
Yeah.
And again, more miniatures on blue screen, but composite it pretty well. Harry Connick dies.
Yeah.
He takes his mask off.
And he's like, put your mask back on. That's an order. And I was like, wait, is he his boss?
But it's like, why couldn't he breathe? Did they shoot something? I forget.
I'm not a fighter pilot.
Okay.
Yeah.
Also, why did the UFOs follow them into the canyon?
Like,
they can't destroy you. Your shields work too well.
Mm-hmm.
Be like, all right, good. They flew away.
Yeah.
Like, they should only be like, get away from the ship.
They're like, we need to find Randy Quaid so that we can impregnate him.
So yeah, the
Ask the Fresh Prince.
Harry Connick dies. Mm-hmm. Will Smith gets one of the ships destroyed, and then another one he crashes.
Mm-hmm.
With a parachute.
Yeah.
So, about their shields. What exactly do they deflect? And how can they tell what is a weapon and what isn't? Because wouldn't the shields deflect the parachute?
Yeah.
Okay.
Or because they have the thing, it would just hit it and go around it because they're in a bubble of energy.
Yeah.
Or it would burn up on it.
Yeah.
And then be like, what the fuck, Will Smith? Like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why do their shields only work some of the time?
Because the movie had to happen. Because he had to say, welcome to Earth.
Welcome to Earth.
Welcome to Earth. All right, so they're in exoskeleton.
What if he fucking punched it and his fucking hand just like explodes?
That's what I wanted to say. So they're like these exosuits
mm-hmm.
that look awesome. I think Patrick Tatopoulos designed this, the same mm-hmm. one who did Godzilla, Stargate, your favorite
Batman
movie.
Batman versus Superman. Superman. Patrick Tatopoulos, he's the Topoulos.
Yes. Fucking ass. yeah, so they look really awesome. Mm-hmm. They're kind of Giger-esque,
yeah.
But not quite.
No.
But yeah, they're supposed to be in these super cool...
Wait, can I take that again? Patrick Tatopoulos, his work is Topnopicalis. I haven't been drinking this time. I'm very tired.
So their suits are very strong. Yeah, exactly. Mm. Why is one punch from an earthling able to knock this thing out?
Because Will Smith...
For a long time!
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's knocked out for a long time!
Well, or it allowed itself to get knocked out so it could get into the base and, like, find its three friends.
No, because as soon as it's in there, it's like, get me out of here.
Okay. Just saying. I don't know their plan. I don't speak alienese. And then he doesn't see any of those RVs coming either, which I'm like, what the fuck?
Oh, yeah.
And then when they get to Area 51...
Everyone just doesn't see the caravan of RVs.
No. Or UFOs in the sky.
Or UFOs in the sky. But yeah, so let me see here. We get a couple more scenes of Randy Quaid's kid being sick
mm-hmm.
and his daughter wanting to get laid. Some boy is like, I got medicine for your brother. Mm-hmm. She's like, hi. And the dad's like, get out of here.
She's like, I got medicine for you right here. It's good for what ails you.
And then NORAD is destroyed.
Which I said, now what if this was Santa Claus's chance? Like, we've been tracking him all these years, and now he's like, and now my brothers, we rise, and elves and fucking misfit toys attack America.
So, everyone's arguing.
Mm-hmm.
And David is, or Jeff Goldblum is yelling at them and people were giving him shit. And then his dad's like, you be nice to my son, David.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, you known all along about, Roswell, Area 51. And they're like, shut up, old man.
Yeah.
That's not real. And then CIA guy, or he was the secretary of state. He was ex-CIA yeah. secretary mm-hmm. of yeah. defense.
And he's like,
who is that guy who's in everything?
Yeah.
I
thought he was the dad from Cool as Ice at first.
No,
he's not. But
yeah, he's all like, Area 51, that's actually true.
He should have waited another beat when fucking Dear John and the other ones were out of the room so that, because civilians aren't in the room, and been like, oh no, yeah, we knew about it, but,
They call him out on it later, but 100%, once UFOs showed up, he should have been like, all right, Mr. President, we got to take you to Area 51.
Yeah.
There's a lot I got to debrief you on. Mm-hmm. Like, it's weird he kept it quiet.
And the whole time, Robert Loggia's like, you should have let me deal with it. I'm Robert Loggia.
Robert Loggia. So Vivek A. Fox is...
Remember when they have to kill him on the... Oh, you never watched Sopranos?
I know, yeah.
Oh, okay. He's in one of the mid-seasons,
yeah.
And he gets out of jail, and everybody's happy he's home, but he's just like a pain in everybody's fucking ass.
So Vivek A. Fox... She gets that truck. She's picking up people. And then there's this one crazy guy. Or actually, not crazy. That's offensive.
Yeah.
He's very religious. He's got a cross painted on his head. He's got a sign and the Bible. And he's like, we're all going to die. And she's like, you want to hop in with us? We're going to El Toro or Del Toro or whatever. And he's like, no.
Yeah.
I love Jesus. He's like quoting scripture and stuff. And she's like, all right, goodbye.
What happens?
That was cut out.
What happens to our religious structure if aliens show up?
Yeah, we just rewrite it.
keep moving the goalposts.
Yeah, we keep moving. I love Will Smith when he's dragging the alien in the desert. He's just like, what's that smell? And he just kicked it.
And apparently that was an ad lib.
Huh?
That was an ad lib.
Yeah,
that he added
like
to,
ad lib. And then that's where he gets picked up.
Mm-hmm.
But the president goes to Area 51.
Yeah.
And Adam Baldwin is there.
Well, he goes to Area 51 because they just nearly escaped the most famous scene in the movie when the White House... explode.
Right.
And it takes out the other helicopter.
Right.
If I was his kid, I wouldn't stop screaming. Like, I would scream every scream possible the entire time. Just, everyone in that ship should be like, you know.
Just screaming constantly.
Yeah.
but Adam Baldwin welcomes the president there.
Yeah.
And of course, Adam Baldwin, he's very famous for helping start Gamergate. I think that's his claim to fame.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. He was instrumental in the beginning of it.
Oh, shit. I didn't know that.
And then Brent Spiner shows up.
Brent fucking Spiner with his long hair and his really high-waisted pants.
I love he's like, they don't let us out much. Yeah. He's pretty great.
Mm-hmm. The inside of Area 51 is kind of cool looking too. They have like the Cerebro door from the X-Men movies, you know.
So yeah, he shows him the alien spaceship, and he's like, "Yeah, we've had it since the 50s. It just turned on recently." Yeah. And that's when he goes, "Like the last 24 hours were really exciting." He's like, "Everyone just died." He's like, "All right.
Oh, sorry."
He's like, "Oh, by the way, we have their bodies," and they're like, "What are the strengths of it?" I go, "He's just like, oh, they're just kind of assholes. They're pretty easy to kill once you get them out of their suits."
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he's like, "These two die. That one died later."
Yeah.
And they look like your classic.
Mm-hmm. Except they have like the big like shell head thing in the back. Yeah.
And no mouths.
No mouths. Yeah.
Really?
Telepathically.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then whatchamacallit? Steven Spielberg ripped them off for War of the Worlds.
Yeah.
They did look they looked similar.
I hate that movie because
I gotta revisit that movie. We have it.
The 9/11 parables are so embarrassingly on the nose.
Yeah.
When Tom Cruise is like, first off, Tom Cruise in that movie throwing a baseball or a football was the funniest fucking thing I've ever seen in my entire life. But also it's like, I know you feel you have to fight. But and I'm just like, okay, we get it. 9/11 just happened. Stop.
Yeah.
Stop. We go to the movies to fucking move on from this shit, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Just the grief porn movies that came after that. Like, remember the one that one with Tom Hanks and it was like extremely loud, extremely close or something?
Incredibly close.
Or the one with Batman.
Oh, I talked about this on my bonus episode.
Yeah.
That, me and Royce did Tenet. And I told him about the ending of that movie, Remember Me, and he's like, is that a real movie?
You didn't believe me when I told you about it.
No, I wasn't the one. I've seen that movie.
Okay, who did I tell about it and they didn't believe
me? I forget who it was, but whenever you tell people the ending of Remember Me, they're like, what?
Yeah. Again, it would be like on the West Wing if a fucking alien invasion happened. You have this like romantic like drama and then fucking 9/11 happens.
No, like, build up to it at all.
No.
It was very dark.
And whenever I tell people about it, they say, well, I'm never going to forget that. So Will Smith shows up.
Will Smith shows up. He's like, we need clearance. He's like, oh, what about this? And he shows him the alien. He's like, let him in.
Well, yeah, they should have let him in, not everybody else.
But they do let everyone else. And in the extended cut, Randy Quaid goes around being like, my son needs medicine. And then finally, Brent Spiner's like, oh my God, someone get this kid the medicine.
And then the daughter's like, I'm trying to get my dick sucked. And they're like, someone really should have explained sex to her better. My dad was Mrs. Doubtfire. Yeah.
But while that's happening, Brent Spiner is like talking to, Jeff Goldblum and he's like showing him the ship. he's like, we don't know how this works.
Yeah.
And then like Jeff Goldblum's like, yeah, you know, it's a relay. We can match it up. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you're making us look bad. But I love earlier in the movie, at the White House, his ex-wife is like, don't touch anything.
Yeah.
And then Brent Spiner does it to him. He's like, why does people keep telling me that?
Yeah.
Starts touching everything.
Again, Jeff Goldblum is the best part of this movie.
Yeah. So they're getting ready to like do the autopsy and stuff. And I think Will Smith says, guess who's coming to dinner? And like, I watched this and Star Trek VI back to back and they both have guess who's coming to dinner jokes. I'm like, I did not expect
that. I don't think they understand the context of that movie.
It made more sense in Star Trek VI.
Yeah.
It made way more sense.
But they're doing like, they're like, start the cameras because they're doing the alien autopsy. And Fox was famous with Jonathan Frakes from Next Generation for the alien autopsy thing. And then the producer was like, well, the rest of it was fake, but two frames are real. You guess which ones. And I was in like fifth grade when this came out. And I was like, turn the TV off.
X-Files made fun of it.
Yeah.
That episode where they find the tape. Mm-hmm. Boulder, this looks faker than the one on the Fox network. We find out they destroyed Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Damn it.
I know.
That's where Will Smith's from.
I know. Born and raised.
On the playground is where he spent most of his days.
Until he joined the Air Force and started dating a stripper.
Yeah, I guess we already did that joke.
Yeah, we kind of did.
Anyway,
it, yeah. You know what? I don't think that the aliens would fare too well against Philadelphia. I think that the feral Mad Max people of Philadelphia would form a human ladder to the mothership, and then once we get on it, the aliens go, yo, this ain't worth it. Like, everyone, the Kensington lean, and we take...
So, I love when the...
We don't know what a John is. We can't fight them.
No one knows what a John is. I love Vivica A. Fox. She's, like, talking to the first lady.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, yeah, I'm a dancer. And she's like, oh, ballet. You're like, no, exotic. Yeah. Don't worry, it's good money. She's mm-hmm. like, oh, okay. I love she's like, thank you for not... she's like, I didn't think you'd recognize me. She's like, I didn't want to say anything. I voted for the other
guy. Exactly. I like that line.
So, the one doctor in the autopsy room,
mm-hmm.
you mentioned he's the guy from Seven.
Yeah.
And the Affleck Daredevil, he's mm-hmm. also in Alien Resurrection.
Yes, he is. Yep. He's the dude who's like, put that thing on him. Oh, he made me fuck her. Yeah. He made me fuck her.
Yeah. You know what else he's in? He is a recurring minor character on Married with Children.
Yeah.
He's the guy who's always directing the commercial. Mm-hmm.
He's in a really fucked up episode of Law and Order Special Victims Unit where he believes that he's like schizophrenic and he believes that there's like these aliens out there that are like trying to get him and like he tries to
because of this.
He kidnaps his son and stuff like that and they give him medicine and he's okay at the end, you know?
I don't think it quite works like that, but okay.
Why would Ice-T lie to me? I got news for you, Tony. That means you're gay.
It's a great episode.
It is a great episode. They did a Gamergate episode as well.
They
remember
did.
That whole
episode? Like, heavily criticized for it.
And he's like, I read that on Kotaku. And I was like, Ice-T had never heard that word before.
Nobody,
that day.
I guarantee you, Ice-T does not read Kotaku.
No.
Kotaku is garbage.
No, Kotaku front paged my Paperboy 3 video.
Yeah, what have they done lately?
I don't know. I didn't know it still existed. If somebody's not talking about me, I don't look at it.
Yeah. Okay, movieweb.com, relax.
Yeah, that was awesome. I didn't know that was a thing.
Thank you for having Hacked Movies.
I did it because I knew that I would get press.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
I wish
nothing but look out for my friend Tony.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I wish we got more scenes with the exoskeleton.
Yeah.
We never actually get to see it like walking around mm-hmm. with the exoskeleton. Yeah. And this is the 90s. It wasn't the less is more rule. They could have showed it more, but the exoskeleton school, they open it up, it like mm-hmm. splits open, and I had the toy, and the toy you would pinch, and it would open
up. Oh, that's right, they did make toys for it.
And they came, we mentioned it in Mars Attacks, I forget when this mm-hmm. was released.
This is before Mars Attacks.
This is before Mars Attacks. Mm-hmm. Wow. Really wish we'd record these in order sometimes. Anyway.
Well, no, we had to get this one out closer to the actual holiday.
So this and Mars Attacks.
For the country that you love so much.
Yes, this and Mars Attacks came with mission discs.
Yeah.
Little floppy discs that you would buy with the toy and mm-hmm. put it in your computer and play a little mini game.
Yeah.
Terrible. But yeah, the toy was a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
I had the jet, and I think I might have the little alien that goes inside the exosuit.
Did they just repaint the Jeff Goldblum Jurassic Park figure?
I think I did have... No, I had the Will Smith figure. I had the Will Smith.
Remember when Dennis Nedry looked nothing like Dennis Nedry?
Yeah.
Dennis Nedry looked more like Ray from The Real Ghostbusters.
Speaking of marketing, can we see it? Ooh. Oh, God. The tape had a holographic...
Oh.
I'll get a picture of it if it's
very
not on
cool.
Yeah, so the exoskeleton's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
The alien wakes up, starts messing with their heads.
Yeah.
It's just like, me, me, me. Mm-hmm. They're like, ah, it just kills all of them.
They do it to they do it to Brent Spiner, and then they do it to the president as well, which plays into the sequel.
Yes. But yeah, I like how he can just, like, he puts his thing around him. He's, like, talking through.
That was this is my favorite scene in the movie, where he's, like, wraps his tentacle around him. He's manipulating him like a ventriloquist dummy. And I just, because I always loved the, like, no peace.
Release me. That alien should have been smarter. Like, they're not letting me out of here.
They literally
in the room across from us, three dead aliens. It's like, oh, man.
I always do that whenever people post pictures, like, oh, I have to take my cat to the vet today. And it's a cat in the thing. And I always just put that little thing. It's like, release me.
I love, he's like, maybe we can get some peace. No, peace. Mm-hmm. What do you want us to do? Die. But then the president's freaking out.
Yeah.
Because he's sending him signals for some reason for plot convenience.
Yeah.
But I love when Robert Loesch is like, is that glass bulletproof? And he's like, no. And it's like, wait a minute.
Brent Spiner's still alive.
No, not that. I'm just like, wait a minute. The alien didn't think to punch the glass. like, did he just assume it was? He was giving them the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
Well, clearly they wouldn't put me in a room with non-shatterproof glass. Clearly, listen. And I feel like when the guy said that, it's not bulletproof. The alien was probably like, "Oh fuck!
Oh man!
I should have threw something at the
Yeah."
Because then you could have had it running around.
Yeah. With its tentacles. Weird, it has got like the weird chicken legs too.
Yeah, yeah.
So it looks like they just hoisted it up.
I think the second one they actually have like a proper fight scene.
Yeah.
But I haven't. I only.
It'd be kind of cool if they did one where they like retroactively use their body armor for like soldiers' body armor. That'd be kind of cool.
Mm-hmm. That would be cool. Oh yeah, so the president's just like, oh yeah, they just use every single resource and they move on.
Mm-hmm.
Every fucking thing had to have an environmental message.
Yeah.
They're still doing the environmental messages. I think in Tenet, they're like, the future, it sucks. So the future wants to kill the past because they destroy the world. It's like, how much longer are we going to do this?
I know I'm never going to have grandkids, so I just stand outside with aerosol cans now. My neighbors told me to stop, but fuck them.
You know what's weird? Hollywood never, like, thanks us. They make all these movies lecturing us, and it's like, well, we cut down on paper and, like, trees and stuff because we moved to digital. Do we get a thank you for that? And Hollywood's like, no.
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 Here's you another. Should still feel bad because you used to do it.
Yeah. Here's a movie that makes you feel bad. It's like, all right, well, thanks, Hollywood. I'm not going to skip that. I think I'm going to watch Roadhouse and Independence Day
until I can feel good. Until you stop polluting, we're going to keep making Paul Blart movies. Remember when Sony got hacked?
Yeah.
My whole idea was, what if the terrorist organization said, you either make Paul Blart 2 the Academy Award winning Best Picture, or we attack a major American city, and then we have to do it? And it's like the Randy Quaid thing. Like, we have to send, what's his name, Kevin James out there.
So Will Smith just steals a helicopter. Because he just assumes his girlfriend is going to be at the destroyed base.
And if you can fly a jet, does that automatically mean you can fly a helicopter? Like, they seem different.
I mean, I guess you could fly both. But usually you specialize in one, I believe.
And at least they made it like, oh.
You know what? We're not in the Air Force, but we know.
Yeah, exactly.
But I love the big guy is telling him not to leave. And he's like, just tell them I hate you.
Yeah.
The guy's like, no one would ever hit that guy. That guy is gigantic.
But he knocked out an alien.
He did knock out an alien.
Because he would later on be Muhammad Ali in Ali. See?
True.
Mm-hmm.
True. The president nukes him.
Yeah.
Nuke the bastards. Which, again, I don't know why they assume this is going to work.
We watch a lot of movies that have nuclear bombs in them.
Yes.
I said this before, you know?
We do.
Yeah.
But, like, you maybe want to run some tests on the ship that you got. Like, how do you know the nuke's
going? And the environmental guy was, at this point, like, fuck it.
Yeah.
You know?
So they launch the nuke.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really cool scene with the bombers.
Yeah.
Like, sending it off at the people in, like, the car. And it doesn't work.
Yeah.
Because the fucking, of course.
And it's all like blurry and he's like waiting for confirmation. And he keeps like looking and then they finally see that the ship's still there.
They're like, target is not destroyed. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, yeah, well, duh.
Yeah.
Like, you guys knew this was
happening. It's a big fucking alien ship. Okay. Oh, we're just going to fire a more powerful bomb at it. Okay. Well,
again, why aren't you doing more tests on the fucking ship that you have?
Yeah.
God damn it.
Because the writers were like, oh, we didn't think about that. We had 3 weeks to turn this in, you know? And I like that the Will Smith going to find his wife or girlfriend scene doesn't bother me too much because he knew exactly where she would be, you know?
I guess so, but he's assuming a lot that she survived.
Yeah. Well, he goes and
precious gas that could be used.
Exactly.
But he saves the first lady, but not for long.
No.
She dies.
She has internal bleeding.
And then poor little Mae Whitman's like, is mommy sleeping? And he's like, yeah, she is. And I like to, it would be funny in the sequel where, like,
she's still waiting for her mom to wake up.
Did mom wake up yet? And her dad's like, no, she's still sleeping. And she'd be like, where is she sleeping all the time?
Underground?
It's like, we never explained the concept of death to her.
Yeah, we just figured she would look around, but everyone in this universe has no peripheral vision.
Jeff Goldblum decides because they launched the nuke, he's like, oh, they hate the environment. I'm going to trash everything. And he's starting with the hangar bay for the alien ship. I'm like,
yeah.
I don't know if that counts as polluting the planet, Jeff, but he has been drinking a lot.
Yeah.
But his dad's all like, you got your health. Now get up before you catch a cold. And then that gives him, oh, I'm going to give the computer a virus.
Just like the computer, like just the computer virus, just like the virus in War of the Worlds.
Right, but this time it's a computer virus because now it's the 90s. We gotta update it, Newt. We're getting jiggy with it, Newt.
He should have said, welcome to Miami, and punched that.
Now, this scene's stupid. Jeff Goldblum wants to show off like his thing. He's like, all right, can you shoot the soda can on the ship?
Mm-hmm.
And the shield goes up and deflects the bullet. Just what in if a the bullet? By the way, there are people in front of Adam Baldwin.
Yeah.
Not a smart idea. Like, even if you're not aiming them, bullets, guns are very unpredictable sometimes. And then the bullet ricochets and Jeff Goldblum goes, oops.
What if the bullet only hit the president and Will Smith's kids? And, like, we just see, like, it's the beginning of the movie Lord of War. And then the movie just gets dark from that point.
But again, the shield's, like, so the shield's new to deflect the bullet.
Yeah. He's like,
But the people walking on the ship mm-hmm. and then drilling things into the ship and then putting that's not a threat.
What did he tell him to shoot?
The can.
What kind of can?
A Coke can. Sorry, Newt. I'm very thirsty.
Oh.
God damn it. Okay. Maybe you can see. It's not the big logo.
You are a walking brown eye, my friend. It's super refreshing.
It is very
mm-hmm. I love cold chemicals.
But no, then he plugs it in. Yeah. It's like, I gave it a virus, and now we can shoot it. It's fine. And we're going to put a virus in the mothership, which is going to send it to other ships, I guess. I guess it's the thing that happens.
Well, it's like the movie Reign of Fire. When you kill the male, the other ones are just going to die of grief. The dragons are like, well, what's going to kill the other ones? Depression.
It's like, have they not been laying eggs?
Yeah.
Male chromosomes? I don't know. Reign of Fire is awesome, though.
Reign of Fire is great.
I fucking love Reign of Fire.
Fucking Matthew McConaughey and Christian Bale.
Yeah, so he's basically like, we're going to do this, and we just got to fly into the mothership. And they're mm-hmm. like, I'm sorry, what?
Yeah.
So then Will Smith nominates himself. He's like, yeah, you know, I'll fly the ship. I've seen how these things fly. I'm like, for 5 seconds?
And yeah, you were...
And it was behind you most of the time.
What, he has to fly backwards? He's like fucking Vin Diesel in Fast and the Furious. He just drives it backwards.
You know, this movie's about family.
It is, yeah. And they're all dead from the aliens.
But yeah, so this is like finally when Will Smith and Jeff Goldblum start having scenes together.
Yeah.
And again, like, if this is when you're just like, oh yeah, they don't know who each other are.
No, yeah.
They could have went this whole movie and at the very end been like, who are you?
Yeah. Oh, hey, I'm the guy who fixes satellites. I'm the guy who flies the helicopter. Bye.
That reminds me of, was it season 3 of Arrested Development?
Mm-hmm.
Remember Lucille 2,
yeah.
Played by what's-her-face,
Liza Minnelli?
I love that there's that scene where, like, George Michael, like, someone references her, and he's like, who?
Yeah.
And you realize he's never met her.
There
was one scene where he mentioned her, but mm-hmm. he didn't know who she was. Mm-hmm. And she's dating Buster. He's like, I thought that was his nurse. But yeah, he's like, I don't know who that is. They're like, really? I feel like we talk about her a lot. Yeah, so around the world, they're all mm-hmm. using Morse code.
Around the world.
Yeah, you've done that.
Yeah.
They're using Morse code to talk to everyone. And they're like, we figured out a way. And the British are like, well, blimey, they've done it.
Well, so listen, they're going to take down them aliens, all day.
And I love that. I assume it's Russia.
Mm-hmm.
But I said that the characters in Titanic were Russian. And people are like, they were Swedish, you asshole. I'm like, whatever. So some Eastern European country,
mm-hmm.
they get a message. They also get the Morse code. But then, like, the Independence Day theme, like, becomes Russian for a second. It's like, dog.
That was awesome, yeah.
I'm like, but they didn't do it. Like, I don't think they did it for, like, whatever the Asian country mm-hmm. was afterwards. Well, like, they should have just did it for every country.
The Brits are in Iraq, and the Iraqi soldier who comes in is the guy who owns the gas station in Kingpin. When he has what he says about they put sugar in your tank, and he sticks his fingers in Woody Harrelson's mouth.
Hold on.
I almost did an impression there, and that would have ended so poorly for me.
But Will Smith finally marries his girlfriend,
mm-hmm.
and Jeff Goldblum and his ex-wife are the witnesses.
Because he still wears his ring.
That's true.
And she touches the ring, and then she holds his hand.
They decide they're in love now, too.
Yeah, and Ron Howard's dad just shows up.
Yes.
Do you think he knows he's in this movie? He was just in a room, and Will Smith shows up, and they're like, oh, all right.
And then we get the most American scene ever, the speech.
And I will tell my story real quick. My friend Chris cried in the theater, openly wept in the theater in this scene. And I went, and I started laughing. And the guy behind me flicked the back of my ear because I was ruining this emotional scene.
You were ruining the scene.
I laughed. Yeah.
So, yeah, it's the most amazing speech ever. And I stood up in the theater and I went like that. Mm. I love the shot of the one guy just going.
I love the guy who's in all the shots in the background, who later on is at the end. He's the dude with the trucker cap and the beard and the denim
jacket.
That guy's
great.
And I'm like, wait, why is the roadie from Jethro Tull helping the president?
But today is our Independence Day.
Today, we celebrate our Independence Day.
And I think that most days that you and I are together are codependence days.
Yeah. And I love, you know, it has a new meaning now. And then they try to get him to do another speech in the second one, and then it wasn't
good. Oh, it was so embarrassing.
But I love in the beginning of the second one, the aliens are listening to the speech from the first movie, and they're like,
oh, we're going to get them. The aliens in this movie and the Mars Attacks aliens should team up. And then we find out that Marvin the Martian is the true villain behind all of it.
Oh, man, he has no loyalty, because in Space Jam, as we pointed out, he was the neutral referee, because he's alien and tune. He's like, I have no...
Motherfucker.
He's an alien, but he's not an Earth.
Yeah. He's like Spock.
Yes, exactly. So then the president decides he's going to fly.
Which is bullshit. I get it. They need fucking Randy Quaid. I do like the scene where Randy Quaid's like, keep him coming with the black coffee because he's drunk.
Yeah, because he's trying to sober up.
Yeah. But, okay, I get it. There's only so many people who can fly.
Yeah.
But this was the president of the United States is now, he's the leader of the world now.
Oh, yeah, because they find out the base that they sent the vice president and the cabinet to, they got destroyed. Yeah. So they're like, all right, well, I'm the only one left. And he fires the secretary of defense. Mm-hmm. So there's not much of a chain of command left. Where was the designated survivor? Where did he go?
I don't know. And they want to have him survive because they don't want his daughter to be in charge now because she doesn't know that her mother's not sleeping. Like fucking Natalie Portman in Mars Attacks.
My first order of business
is to wake my mom up. A prince needs to kiss her. And they're like, that kid's brain might not work properly.
You can't have child leaders. Like, even in the ancient Egyptians, they're like, okay, nine-year-old, you're the king, but we're going to take care of all this
stuff. Yeah, don't worry about it. You got a club foot and fucked up genitals there, Tutankhamun, but we're good. So Bill Pullman is, I was going to say Bill Paxton, is now the leader of the world because it's his plan to make everybody fight together as one. It's the Independence Day for the world, and they're going to be independent of aliens. Doesn't really make sense.
I don't know what you're talking about. It makes perfect sense.
Okay.
They will not go quietly into the night. No. They will not go down without a fight. They're going to survive. They're going to move on.
Live on.
Live on. Shut up.
Guess I love America a little bit more because I remember inspirational speeches. But yeah, so like at one point, like whoever's in charge of England and Iraq and France and Russia be like, hey, no, we kind of need you down here. Send the fucking crop duster, you know? But the president's like, and I'm just like, no, because if I was another country, I'd be like, you know what? We didn't like those guys before and nobody's going to know it's a dogfight. I just take out the president.
Yes.
You know? Please don't clip that.
But instead he goes.
Yeah.
He goes and fights because he's a pilot.
Mm-hmm.
Much like some presidents that we had. And then Randy Quaid, again, is volunteering himself and trying to sober up. And then they launch their attack in space. What you call it, Will Smith and Jeff Goldblum go to space in their ship. They have a bumpy start because they have the things backwards.
Oh, yeah. That was kind of funny, though.
Yeah, he's like, and he's just like, what oops? What oops? So they go to space. They go to the mothership. Looks awesome.
Yeah.
They plant the virus. That makes people like, all right, we can finally attack the ship. Mm-hmm. But they're not doing enough damage.
Yeah.
And the president gets the idea. We got to shoot their weapon because maybe it'll start a chain reaction. How do they figure that out? I don't know.
Well, because they did it in Return of the Jedi.
Okay, yeah. They did it.
Because even their power chargey thing looks kind of like look the like Return of the Jedi, but it also looks like a waffle or pretzel cone on the boardwalk. Like,
but yeah, so he's trying to shoot that. He's out of missiles, but who's coming to save the day?
Randy Quaid.
Sorry, I'm late, Mr. President.
Red leader, you know. Yeah. Ugh, Jesus Christ.
And he shows up in a regular jet.
In a regular jet.
In the
movie that we saw.
In the movie we saw, but we, right before this, I was like, oh wait, the special edition DVD has the deleted ending where he flies his crop duster,
which is the dumbest fucking thing. And then we listen to the commentary and he's like, well, this is like a nice comedic moment, but it really ruins the drama and the realism
of it. It's like, you think?
I'm like, at this point, we're fucking worried about the realism of the movie, but it's so silly. And he's just wearing like, fucking when Snoopy was a pilot kind of look, but he can communicate with all the other ships.
Like, what's he's...
And a nuclear missile isn't going to be too heavy for his fucking crop duster?
He didn't have a nuke. That wasn't a nuke. That was just regular missile.
It's still too heavy.
Yeah, I guess so, yeah. But also, I don't think he could breathe at that high of an altitude.
No.
That's why they're all wearing that. I don't know. Again, I'm not.
Harry Connick Jr. was in a real fucking thing and he died. And now he can't croon on holiday albums. Yeah. And him dying, not just fucked up Ryan Reynolds, but it led to the rise of Taj.
Yeah, exactly.
Remember the Van Wilder sequel that Van Wilder's not in?
Yeah. But yeah, then they also talked about how, like, him strapping the missile ahead of time means he's okay with his death.
Yeah.
And they wanted to have that moment where he decides. Mm-hmm. It smart change.
No,
smart
yeah. Change.
I get, like, on paper, that's the ending you want. But then so when you think about it, you're like, that's not going to work.
No. This will be a good death, like in the Dark Knight.
He sacrifices himself.
Mm-hmm.
And he blows up the thing. But even to the very end, he's like, hey, guys, up yours. I'm back.
Like my generation said, up yours. Yeah.
So it's like, I think he really was abducted by those aliens. I think they sent scouts out.
Do you think the one is like excited? Like, here he comes. Oh, my God, I'm so nervous. And then he blows the fucking thing up. Like, the one is like all fucking hard and ready.
Can
and like,
you get a fan art of just an alien hugging Randy Quaid? Or an alien in its room looking at a
looking at a picture of Randy Quaid, its leg up on the thing. Like,
it's got to be in the exosuit.
Uh-huh. The tentacles make a heart.
Mid-salad, are you watching? Do that. You're going to draw that stupid shit.
Yeah, you're going to draw that stupid shit. Do it.
And if you don't want to do it, I'll pay you like I usually do.
Yeah.
I don't think we ever released the Ash Ketchum picture.
Oh, that was, yeah, that came.
Mid-salad drew a picture of Ash Ketchum standing in a bathtub holding Pikachu.
Because that was my idea when Justin and when the episode came out and didn't do very well.
Yeah.
I was like, do you think Ash gets to a point where he's like 40-something and his wife left him and he's not allowed to see his kids and he just gets in the tub with Pikachu and just starts crying and drops him?
So back on the mothership.
Back on the mothership.
The virus worked, but they're trapped. It's like holding them. And yeah. The aliens should be like, oh, that's weird. That ship that went missing in the 50s is back, and now it's got human stuff
welded
to it, and it's not opening its blast shields. Also, it has a missile attached to it and a silver dildo. That's in the extended.
Yeah.
They're like, we have this radio thing, but it looks like a silver dildo just hanging off the ship.
And the thing in Man of Steel they put them in? Yeah, the fucking dildos.
And at no point, it takes them a while to finally be like, what's going on with that ship? Like, that's weird.
It was because everybody was in the alien office over there.
Oh, right.
You know?
I do like that the aliens are like us. They sit in little desks.
Yeah, uh-huh.
They like type on their cubicles. But they're ready for their invasion. They have different ships in there. They're all lining up. So I guess like the aerial attack is done. They're going to go in and
the
kill
ground
all the survivors.
One, yeah.
And then they're like, all right, you know what? Fuck it. They light their cigars. Mm-hmm. And they're like,
they're not very positive, body positive in this movie because they keep talking about the fat lady singing.
It's an opera joke, you asshole.
I don't know.
And over to the fat lady sings.
Oh.
I forget where that originated from. I know it's an opera joke. But yeah, so they launch the nuke.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow they get out of there. I guess blowing up that guy's office let them out of there.
I just love the shot where the missile goes through the office and there's just the guy who's filing paperwork and the alien paper.
He's like,
and he's like, oh, Zork didn't put in his paid time off. Like,
I love how they're being mean to it. They're like, bye.
Yeah.
And then like they put the little skull on its screen.
Which is right out of Stargate.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, yeah. No. In a couple seconds from now. It's
Oh, okay. Yeah. Because they just literally just copied and pasted the ending of their other movie.
I mentioned that in our Stargate episode I did with Ryan. But yeah, I love when they're running away from the ships. It's another fun dog battle, but they have to use the quote from Jurassic Park.
Must go faster.
Which
must
you faster. Accidentally typed as Mutt go faster.
Well, no, Indiana Jones' son is what I was talking about. Yeah.
Mutt go faster. Yeah.
When they're on the motorcycle getting away from the, you know.
But yeah, no, that's what I think. They just ripped it right from Jurassic Park. I don't even think they're like, just grab that line.
Oh, we also skipped over faster. When his laptop says, good morning, Dave.
Oh,
and it's the 2001 thing.
It's
and
like, how?
Yeah, Stanley Kubrick was still alive at that point. He would knock on Dean Devlin's door and just punch him in the balls.
But then.
Oh, no, he's dead. He died in 99.
Yeah, but this is 96, 97.
Okay. Oh, wow.
Yeah. Anyway, so they blow up the ship, and you're right. It cuts to an alien. I love how it's an alien that, like, another alien got hit by the missile.
Yeah.
And then another alien's like, what's going on in there?
Yeah.
Like, it blows up in his face, just like Star.
It should have been like Mondays, am I right? Boom. It's holding a coffee cup. World's Bex Zarlorp.
Mothership is completely eradicated.
Which is cool. I like when the fire's coming out of all the chambers.
I like that it has two fangs for some reason. Completely destroyed. The other ships. Now that their shields are down and they're all disoriented, they're going down. Did you notice anything weird about this scene with all the ships going down?
No, Tony, tell me.
It's daytime.
Yeah.
On every corner of the planet, it's daytime, which I think also happened in Armageddon.
But is it also because a massive, it's reflecting off of the atmosphere?
No, fuck you. No, that is not it. That is
Like, if there's a massive explosion like that in space and all these things are blown up, wouldn't it reflect off our atmosphere?
It would not be that bright. It would not be as bright as the sun, you asshole.
I don't know. I've never survived an alien invasion.
So it's daytime everywhere, and I think Armageddon made the same mistake when the asteroid blows up, and they're just like, oh, we're in France, it's daytime, yeah. We're in America, it's daytime, over here, it's daytime.
Well, it couldn't all be happening at the same time, maybe it's happening at different times, they're just showing daytime in that country.
I don't know. You know what, I'll give it a pass for this one, maybe that was a montage, but Armageddon, they show, like, the asteroid as it's blowing up, and it's like, okay.
Well, isn't it at the end of Return of the Jedi, the special edition, it's nighttime everywhere when it happens?
Right.
Remember? Well, no, it's not on Coruscant. It's like...
Coruscant, it's...
It's like...
Oh, no. Well, the special edition.
It's nice.
They added Jar Jar Binks on Naboo.
Yeah, and he's like celebrating. We so won.
We so free.
How does he know that, though? Like, what if, like, they blew up, you know, and Darth Vader and the Emperor are like, fuck those dudes. And the Emperor's like, man, good thing I didn't die and I don't have to come back.
Again, what if they'd be like... Oh, wait, isn't there a chain of command?
Yeah.
I assume someone else is going to rise into the ranks, and there's like a... No, they won. Oh, okay. Yeah. I guess so.
Yep.
So you had an idea for a sequel?
Yeah, I think the movie should the sequel should automatically pick up with, we won, we beat the aliens, and then a Benghazi-style trial begins where the Democrats, the Republicans, are now fighting over the how long it took to respond to the alien attack, and then...
That's funny.
Misappropriation of funds. I used the word right that time about our, you know... It can all be that.
The sequel had some good ideas. I like how they adapted to the aliens' technology. Mm-hmm. I like how some of the aliens were still alive, and there was, like, what they mentioned happened in the between. I'm like, that sounds way cooler.
Yeah.
Like, they were
Why did you make aliens, this movie?
Like, because they were city-sized. They had enough, their ships were down, but there was enough places for them to hide in there. And, like, so.
I laughed hysterically at good portions of that movie. And the only reason that it's not the worst movie is because it came out the week after Terminator Genisys.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Talk about a movie I never want to watch.
Mm-hmm.
I still haven't watched the new one. There's a guy on Twitter that begs me to watch
this. I know.
I'm like, I'll get to it.
Yeah.
But, yeah. I still think it's dumb fun. It's a popcorn movie.
It's a popcorn movie, yeah.
It's definitely dumb
worse.
Fun. Like, don't think... Like, the plot is stupid. Like, if people hate this movie, I'll be like, okay, yeah.
Yeah, I get it.
It's not a movie I'm gonna defend.
Mm-mm.
Like, I would defend my country.
Yeah.
It's not a movie I'm gonna defend that
much. You should enlist.
I'm too old for it now.
No.
Eh, I'm too old.
Come on.
I'm too old. it's not a movie I'm gonna defend to my death, but it's one of, like, I can't hate it. Like, there's other movies he did that I'm like, all right, Day After Tomorrow, that movie fucking
Oh, my
sucks.
God. That's what Team America, they wanted it to be, was a marionette shot-for-shot remake of that.
And despite...
2012.
Yeah, 2012 is awful, which I think we have. Despite my shrine to Godzilla, I'm very well aware of that movie's flaws. But I don't know, Independence Day, I guess it got me at that right time. It's the perfect level of nostalgia. It was in that period where we all wanted bigger, better special effects. And I think it's a good time. Now, you know what, Newt?
What's that?
I know I didn't promise you fireworks at the beginning of this episode because I forgot to set that up, but I promised you fireworks.
Mm-hmm.
You ready for some fireworks?
Let's get some fireworks.
Let's get some fireworks! All right, I promise you fireworks, Newt.
Oh, shit. From sea to shining sea.
Remember to like, comment, and subscribe. Check out our other videos and Patreon page.
Talking about tapes.